And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Add shiz as a friend.
You're so stupid for doing that.
Nerd.
Are glazing over. Let's start.
What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Pappy.
This is the SML podcast. We have two guests with us right now. The first one you guys may know as Shiz Blacka. Sean is with us once again. He's probably going to be hanging out all week. Sean, you don't need to introduce yourself. We don't care. We have an actual guest. Mark Ng of Clapfoot is here.
Hey, how's it going? It's Mark here.
Would you like to introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and what you do.
Sure. I am the co-founder of Clapfoot. We developed Fortified. And basically, I help to run the studio, and we make games. That's it.
We raved about your game last week on the show, that game Fortified.
We were glad we could finally rave about it after 2 weeks of getting to play it and not being able to talk.
The wonderful Alex Van Lepp hooked us up with three codes that me, Pappy, and Shiz used to play, and we were informed that sadly there was an embargo, and it was one of those times where the embargo was just painful because we wanted to talk about how much we fucking love this game.
That's cool. Thanks.
So we were excited to finally talk about it, and I'm even more excited that you have agreed to join us today. And for the people who don't know, we actually just played a solid hour of Fortified with you, and you got to see how terrible we are in person.
Actually, I think I was a lot worse than you guys, to be honest. So
I think that's only because we've only played with each other so far, so we kind of got that little mini team dynamic thing going.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not one of the best on the team. Like, I'm probably one of the worst guys on the team in terms of playing this game. So,
you were the right one then to play with us.
Yeah.
They sent the scrub to play with us scrubs.
Yeah, I'm the scrub of Clapfoot, basically. So.
That's funny.
So for the people who missed our episode last week or don't care about our show in general, explain what Fortified is. Give us the sales pitch.
Sales pitch, okay. Well, Fortified is an explosive strategy shooter. It's a four-player co-op game. And the way I like to talk about it, instead of giving the normal PR pitch, is it's a game where it's all about being in a really tight situation with your team, with your friends, and trying to strategize to find a way out. So it's sort of like shit hits the fan, you got to work together, and you got to make it out alive. That to us is sort of the point of the game, if you had to summarize it. And it's also about shooting robot aliens, Martians in the 1950s.
Yeah, I love the visual style and the whole 50s setting. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, it's definitely, it was kind of a little bit of a longish story about how we settled on that theme, but...
Do tell.
I can give a little bit of a sort of story on how that became. The game actually started off as more of like a darker sci-fi type of theme where it took place on a spaceship, and it was kind of like Aliens, more like, where it's more of like a suspense atmosphere, a lot more serious. And in the early prototypes, we found that that didn't really match up against the gameplay as well, because the gameplay was more I guess like ridiculous. Like, it was all about shooting these enemies, you know, what these enemies would be like flying around. We had a lot of fun with the physics, as you can see in the final game. And it just didn't quite, the theme of the game just didn't quite match what was happening in the gameplay. And we were actually only a couple of weeks away from showing the game to the public for the first time. It wasn't like a huge showing. It was for a local show. And I got together with the other co-founder of the studio, and we were just thinking about the game, and we were like, you know what, there's something that just doesn't really feel right. So the thing that hit us was we were really excited about the idea of doing a game that was kind of like the theme that you saw in Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow, if you guys have seen that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like there's one scene at the beginning where there's a city and there's these huge robots. They're marching down the road, and like the U.S. military is kind of there with their army, and they're fighting these like skyscraping Martians. And we're just like, hey, you know what? It'd be really cool if someone took that and went 100% and put that in the game. And we're like, why shouldn't that somebody be us? And it seems like a good theme for this game because it's not as serious and it fits well with the gameplay. And in a matter of weeks, we sort of took the assets that we had for the game and we created a prototype using this theme. And it was really tight schedule, but we managed to slap it all together and we showed it off to a small group locally here in Toronto, and the group loved it. So we were like, hey, this is going to be the game.
I think it was a smart move. I think the 50s yeah. visual really fits the whole kind of crazy dynamic and more lighthearted, fun kind of feel, instead of if it was a gritty alien war thing with...
I think it's actually a better representation of the style than Sky Captain actually was. Like, I think you guys captured...
Oh, wow, that's a huge compliment.
You guys need more Angelina Jolie, though.
Well, no, I think there's better acting in this game than there is in the movie.
We tried to get Angelina Jolie on board, but she just, you know, she didn't want to talk to us, you know?
Well, that's fair. I mean, at least you tried.
She doesn't talk to me either. There's a restraining order.
She's here right now.
Yeah.
In your room, shiz.
Yeah, that's
off camera. Off camera.
So you guys, Clapfoot, you primarily you did a bunch of like phone games before Fortified. What made you switch from mobile over to doing an Xbox One and Steam game?
Yeah, that's a good question. We were doing mobile games for 3 years or so, 3-4 years, and I think we always wanted to do a console game, and I think in a lot of our mobile games, we were sort of trying to do more of a console-like game, but on the mobile side. And I think the thing that kind of sort of like pushed us over in the end was, and you probably heard this before from like a lot of devs, but the mobile space sort of changed. At the beginning in the mobile space, it was really cool because it was all about these like new ideas, and there was all these opportunities for a small dev to go in there and make something new. But eventually phone games all sort of turned into this free to play model where, it just made it hard on like the game design. If you wanted to make a game a certain way, you didn't really have the freedom to do that. If you want to, succeed at the business level. And that sort of thing that pushed us over was that on our last title in the mobile space, we were sort of faced with a lot of tough challenges in balancing the business model and the gameplay. And after that project, we sort of thought about what we want to do next. And we're like, you know what? Like, we don't want to deal with all these constraints anymore. We just want to make a game that's fun, without having to worry about the free-to-play model. And, we're like, you know what? Let's make a four-player co-op game because we like four-player co-op games. And that sort of was the spark. You know, that was like the catalyst that got us wanting to do a console game.
Nice. I do want to say it's cool that some of your mobile games are available on Windows Phone, because I am a proud Windows Phone owner. I am sad that none of them are Xbox enabled.
Yeah, that's a little story there that I won't talk about now, but maybe another time.
Is there any chance of updating them to include achievements in the future?
That might be a little tough, but You know what? I'll say maybe, most likely not.
Probably no.
I was actually looking through the games. I'm downloading three of them now. Hero Forge and Sector Strike look pretty cool. Is there any plans that those might get a console version?
We definitely thought about that. It's crossed our mind, and we've sort of joked a couple of times here, like, hey, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we took Sector Strike or Hero Forge and we put it onto like the PS Vita, which is sort of the best format that those games would be able to flourish in the console space. But we really feel like, as our team size is fairly small, we want to make the best use of our time, and we feel like games like Hero Forge and perhaps some of the multiplayer games is probably where we're going to focus most of our efforts from this point forward. So the mobile stuff, you know, maybe one day we'll go back and try to do something there.
The Clapfoot HD collection.
We always joke about that, you know, maybe in 15 years when Clapfoot is a million employees, then we'll go back and make the mobile HD version. But, you know, it's always just sort of fun to think about. But we're definitely a small team, so our resources are pretty limited, but we try to do the best with what we have.
How big is the studio? How many people?
So the core team is 7 people. And for a project like Fortified, what we usually do is we'll bring on some additional contractors to help. And so for Fortified, the core team was 7, and we had another person for music and sound, and we had 3 more concept artists. We had an illustrator who did all the cutscenes. His name is Marco D'Alfonso. And he's an amazing illustrator. We actually found him specifically for this project because his art style we found really suited the 1950s Pulp Fiction-ish sort of style. And we had another 2 extra people for full-time playtesting at one point in the project. And so it's sort of like 7 plus a bunch of other people that worked on this project.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I'm like trying to see if anyone else wants to throw in a question.
I'm actually listening intently, which is rare for me.
So too.
I was just
Shiz, you're not listening. You're playing a game. Don't lie.
I've
zoned out of the game I'm playing. Trust me. I'm just doing this for achievements.
I'll kick off with the game the question I always like to ask. When you're not working on the game, what other stuff are you doing? Like, what other video games are you playing in your downtime?
I can't speak for the entire team. I personally enjoy multiplayer games, especially games that you can go back to sort of like time and time again. So. And to play with your friends. So stuff like Destiny, I'm a huge fan of Destiny. I'm a huge fan of Diablo 3.
Yeah, Diablo. Where's Chris when we need him?
Yeah. If you need someone to run through the map because he's memorized it, even if it's random, Chris at you.
Sure, yeah.
Seriously, like Chris is insane with Diablo. There's,
I can tell. You can tell him the item that you just picked up, and he can give you all of its statistics.
And he'll tell you if it's worth keeping, if you keep it, what weapons you should use with it.
Yeah.
What you can re-roll it. It's like a Diablo savant.
Yeah, I'm not quite at that level yet, but maybe in like 5 years I'll be at that level.
There's a certain level of commitment, I think, to anything where you can where you're memorizing the little stuff, you know. Like, even mm-hmm. games that I play, like Fallout, that I play a lot of, I couldn't tell you. Like, oh, I just picked up such and such. There's no way I could tell you, oh, yeah, it's good against these enemies. You want to add this to it? Or, you know, just be like, oh, yeah, that's a cool gun.
I can kill people with it.
Yeah, carry on.
Shoot in face.
Chris, with Diablo, like, Pappy, when he was first starting to get into the game, he would just, like, say the name of the item he found. And
I wouldn't
then
even be able to finish the name. I'm like, I got the Dagger of... Dagger of Kinefina. Yeah,
and then Chris would just go off telling him what he needed to equip, if he wanted to use it, what skills and abilities he should have, runes he should have with the skill. He's just... He's nuts with Diablo. It's insane to just listen to him go on with Diablo because he's just so goddamn good at it.
Knowledgeable.
Not a joke or an exaggeration at all. And if anyone has listened to some of our older Diablo themed podcasts,
which for a little while, whether they meant to be or not, they became Diablo themed podcasts.
Yes. Chris, he had a good talent at steering all conversation towards Diablo, and oh my God, we're doing it, and he's not even here. Oh my Lord,
that's another talent right there.
He's turning us.
He's good.
He's turning us. If you're a fan of multiplayer games, there's this pretty cool one that just came out called Fortified. You should check that out.
Yeah, maybe.
Joe,
I should check
tell
that
me
out.
More.
So how much playtesting do you guys do around the office before you release this game? Like, were you guys like playing it, tweaking it, or just playing it because it was fun?
Yeah, so that was actually a really huge challenge for us, because a four-player multiplayer game and a seven-man team is sort of like there's a huge challenge there. So I would say lots and lots, and we had to do a bunch of things to help us with the playtesting process. We started off playing it ourselves, and then we brought it to a bunch of trade shows like PAX, a bunch of local shows, and that certainly helped a bit, but it's definitely still a little limiting at a trade show, because you're sort of stuck in this very constrained sort of environment where players will only play a single level and they won't really get the flow of the game, like playing through levels 1 to 5 or something like that. So what we ended up having to do was we brought in a bunch of playtesters locally here in Toronto. It's actually, you'd be surprised at the community. You can just sort of make a post on Twitter and on Facebook and just be like, hey, we'd like some help playtesting the game. And there's a lot of people locally in the community here that were willing to come in and help us playtest. And that was a lot of playtesting, but even then that wasn't enough. So we ended up going to a local college, and there was a lot of game developers, or I'd say game developer students, that were very interested in playtesting. So we were able to utilize that as a resource and get probably like at the end of it, hundreds of people playtesting the game. And it was only through that many playtests that we were actually able to get the game into the state that it's in now. And we also hired a dedicated playtester, and he played so much Fortified that I almost feel bad. And we had this joke in the office. We're like, you know what? We should get him for Christmas a copy of Fortified. This is after he literally played like 400 hours of Fortified. He was so sick of it. But
oh, you guys are dicks.
We're huge dicks. Yeah, we like to really torture people by getting them to play a lot of Fortified. But in all seriousness, it was especially hard. It was one of the things that we kind of like underestimated at the beginning, was the playtesting, because when you have a four-player game with four classes and more than 20 structures and a bunch of weapons, changing one thing in the game can really throw off the balance and will either make it too hard or make it too easy. So it was a huge challenge, but with all the help that we got, those damn bazookas slipped through
the
nets. But,
don't you fuck with my bazooka, dudes.
Hey, when you were doing the playtesting, was there any characters that were coming across as like the fan favorite or the least favorite for people to play?
I think that there wasn't anyone that stood out in particular. I think some people thought the rocket scientist was sort of interesting because she could fly, and that sort of was brought up a few times, but
she was tough to begin. That's a character I play, and she, I had to get rid of her starting weapon. Like, as soon as I got rid of that, there was a lot of good flow for me. But that little laser gun, I was not...
Pew, pew.
I'm sure it has its good uses, but once I switched over to, like, rocket launcher and machine gun and then bazooka and machine gun, it was nice.
I'm all about my captain with his fucking shoddy and the machine gun. Oh, man, he's so good. And then bazooka dudes, which, again... Do not fuck with my bazooka dudes.
But, no, I think you guys did a great job of the balance. Like, every character's got its good and bad. Like, I can hurt the shit out of stuff, but like you pointed out when we were playing Horde mode, if they start moving faster, my mortar's not going to hit them in time. But, mm-hmm. you know, for a slow-moving robot, the mortar's going to kill it easy, you know, no problem. But as soon as they move out of that radius, now it's just me. Whereas, you know, with Captain America over there and his 25 bazooka guys following him around, he was, you know, more of a mobile defense. And then you've got the secret agent with his Tesla coils and all of that.
And then the scuba diver, which none of us used.
Was it? Yeah, the spaceman. Yeah, scuba Steve.
Spaceman is actually really useful. I actually feel like we would have gone through the Juggernaut level 6 if we had a spaceman on hand, because he's really good at the crowd control and slowing down the fast enemies, which... I feel like that's where they got us.
All right, so we are going to officially send out a call for a scuba diver to join our team.
Scuba diver.
Well, if the guy who played with us in Shiz before, just tell him he's got to go be a spaceman and to level up.
All right, so Uneaten Lake, you got to learn the scuba diver.
Yeah.
I see the helmet and I just automatically think, oh, scuba diver. So.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like the oxygen tanks.
All I know is
it's the right look for the 50s style, definitely.
I was getting shit kills, but at least I was slowing them down. I just used my freeze ray. I used my freeze ray and my death ray. I basically just try to slow them down, then hit them hard, but I just shoot really slow.
So you guys talk shit that I'm just doing good because of my bazooka dudes, but let's not forget the fact that my weapon kills blew you motherfuckers away.
Yeah,
that's what happens when you hack. I don't understand why you're always so proud. Like,
I'll say half jokingly, but half serious. I was firing rockets at everything, and it was doing enough to knock them down to the last third of their health, last quarter of their health, but not kill them. So I'm just going to assume
really
that you stole.
Them.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that you just stole all my kills.
Sounds good. I'll take it.
All those yoink medals.
So you mentioned trying to get the balance just right. Is there anything that you guys think still needs to be worked on balance wise?
Yeah, for sure. I think a game like Fortified, it's like we personally are never like 100% satisfied with the game balance. I think we feel like we got it maybe 95% there. But there's always that last 5%. And there's definitely a couple things. We don't like talking about it all the time. But
don't you mention bazooka dudes. Don't you fucking mention bazooka.
So I will mention to not mention about the bazooka dudes.
You leave them alone.
And there's definitely like there's one other unit in the game that we kind of feel like might need a little bit of balance in the patch. I won't say in which direction, but we feel like the sniper unit might need a little bit of work. But other than that, we're pretty happy. But it's one of those things that I think even if we did roll out a patch or something and we address those issues, we think we'd still feel like there's still that last 5%. It's just that as a game developer, we're never really 100% happy, and we're always going to feel like something needs to be changed. Even like 15 years later, I'm sure we're going to feel that way. So
on Fortified HD remix in the Clapfoot HD collection,
in the Clapfoot Classics,
we'll be
Clapfoot
playing with our
Classics collection.
I could play this game on Oculus Rift in 15 years.
Yeah, it's going to run on your smartphone in 15 years.
Maybe after all no that problem. Training, I'll actually be able to kill a boss.
Speaking of, our friend Jordan on Twitter is asking you for tips on beating Mission 6 because they're stuck. And I'll just throw out that we are also stuck on Mission 6
with
help of the developer.
Well, considering that I was the weakest link in this group, I don't know if I'm the best person to ask. But I'll say that it's probably good to bring some sort of crowd control. So if you have some kind of ice structure, that would be helpful.
So we need a scuba diver.
Yeah, I'll admit scuba I went straight fire with everything. Like, because I had the options for ice. So I was like, no, burn everything.
I did both. My death ray is fire, and my freeze ray is obviously fire.
Yeah, and maybe before we patch the game, use the explosive infantry. They're definitely going to help.
Don't fuck with those explosive dudes. Leave them alone.
Leave Brittany alone.
I can't wait to play with Joe after the patch.
These guys fucking suck now.
Yeah,
can't kill only, shit.
But with the way Joe games, he'll still beat us. It'll just won't he'll be still two, beat us. It won't just, be a 2-1. It'll
yeah,
be
I just won't
like
beat you as badly anymore. I know you mentioned balancing because the general consensus I've heard so far is that this game is fucking hard.
Yeah.
Even on normal.
I can hear in his voice, is and.
Just get good.
Get good, yeah. Pussies.
Yeah, so sort of to like tie back what one of our goals was with this game is that we really wanted people to feel like they're in a really tight situation with their team, and the game at various points in development did feel a little easy, and we felt like that was sort of like poison to this type of game. Like as soon as it's too easy, the game's just really boring. It's different if you're playing a different type of game. Like if you're playing a loot-based game, there's something else there for you. Like you can look forward to your loot or something else. But in a game like Fortified, where it's all about working with your team to try to defend the base, as soon as it's too easy, it's really boring. So we had to make sure that there was a real fine balance, ensuring that it's challenging enough and you won't be bored. And for us, we felt like being hard, sort of like erring on the side of hard, was the right way to go. And at the end, I think, you know, we're never 100% happy, but I think we were pretty happy with where it landed. And we found that at least a good percentage of the playtesters were able to get through the game, and we were pretty happy with that. But having said that, the game is intended to be hard. It's not a casual game. It's not a walk in the park. But it's not impossible either. Like yeah. You can definitely get through if you use the right strategy and you're willing to work with your team, or even in single player if you go in with the right structures. We definitely play test the game enough to know that you're able to win with all the difficulty settings on using all the characters. So there's no hole in the game where you can't win. It's definitely possible. And we did want it to be hard. So
single player.
Yeah, I'm going to keep talking. You guys struck a great balance. And I'll give you definite credit of making it hard, but still fun. Like when we hit a wall playing, you know, just the three of us, we just went back and replayed until we leveled up a little bit more.
And then we cursed at each other a lot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, at each other, though, but we never bitched at the game. Like, oh, goddamn game, why are you so hard? We're just like, all right, guys, you know, we just got to get better. We got to level up, use a better strategy. So a lot of props to you guys for, you know, you made a hard game, but you made it to where it wasn't frustrating, where it's still fun to play.
Part of me really wants to watch Shiz stream the game, though, when he's like, mostly drunk and really tired playing the game. Because when he gets drunk and angry at a game, he goes off on it, and it's funny. So he'll tell
hey,
you
man,
now
I'm
that the game's
vacation,
incredible
so.
When he's drunk, your game is a fucking piece of shit that's bullshit, and the developers are all assholes.
Oh yeah
it's fun.
And Fortify, I don't want to play Fortify drunk because I'll uninstall it. I'm already incapable of playing that shit sober. No.
Speaking of Shiz's stream, someone in his Twitch stream, Kali, was he had some concerns with the difficulty compared between solo and multiplayer, where he says that the bonus money given for having multiple players isn't enough to counteract how much harder the enemies are. I'm not sure if that's something.
You're saying it's a lot easier single player than co-op.
Yeah, so he's saying it's easier single player, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we were doing our playtesting, when we were doing the four player playtesting specifically, one of the things that we found, which goes back to what I said a little earlier, is that when you had too many resources, when you were able to place too many structures, the game got a little boring. Like it's, and what we found that was when you're more resource constrained, it forced you to really think hard about what you had to place. And it also forced players to have to work with each other in a four-player environment. For example, if we had four players and you had a lot more resources, you wouldn't necessarily need to be like talking to the other players as much, because you would have all the resources that you needed to place all of your four structures, and you'd just be sort of placing them and you would be on your way. But when you're more resource constrained, you would have to talk to your teammate and really think about what they were placing and what you're placing and where you're placing them. And it goes back to being in a really tight situation, your resources are constrained, and your back is up against the wall, and you somehow have to survive and beat the juggernaut or whatever level you're on. And, we definitely found that landing on that side of the game balance made the game much more fun. Like I said, there's always work to be done, but at the end, we were pretty happy with where that landed. And we found that the game was the most fun when you barely make it through, but you've thought things through, you work together, and you just get through the level, and everybody celebrates after, and everyone's like, yeah, fuck yeah, we just made it through. But on the other hand,
we had a couple of those.
Yeah.
But, mm-hmm. on the downside, we've definitely seen people play, and they didn't make it through, and they're a little bit frustrated, but we found more often, surely sometimes people get frustrated and they'd be like, oh, I don't want to play this anymore, which is fair. But we found that more often than not, they would try to rally, come up with a new strategy, and usually they would win. So we think we hit our goals there.
I think our most common strategy was us all yelling, Shiz, there's annihilators at your base. What the fuck are you doing over here? Go stop the annihilators at your rocket. Oh my God, we're going to lose again. God damn it, Shiz.
Shiz and I are complete opposites. When I'm like, I got this right-hand corridor, I don't move. And Shiz is like, I got this left-hand corridor, and I'm going to wherever the fuck I want.
I'm like, all right, well, I killed my guy. I guess I'm just going to run around and try to help.
And then 2 seconds later, I'm check like, out the scenery.
I think that's the difference, though.
You would have never known what movie was playing at the theater if it wasn't for me.
You would have never known
there was a cafe.
That's a difference in mentality, too. You know, I'm active duty military. You know, I literally have been trained to do my job. So my job is to guard this corridor. I'm going to do that until someone says, hey, come here and help. Yeah. You're a gamer, so your job is to go murder everything.
I just get bored. I'm impatient. If I'm playing a gun game, I want to kill shit, and I want to kill it 5 minutes ago.
I want to win. I don't need the personal accolades.
Fair enough. Well, in Fortified, I know I'm not going to win. I just want to shoot shit.
Well, no. Okay, now we know that we'll eventually win. The only goal you have after that is to get more kills than Joe.
Which isn't going to happen, so just, give up on that.
Well, I'd say if there is one strategy that some players might not sort of use right at the beginning, is that you really can sell all your structures in between your wave and develop a new strategy. So you're definitely not stuck with the same structure placement, and you won't be penalized in any way. You'll get back all your credits. So you'll be able to literally reform your strategy.
We did that a couple of times when it was just all ground for a wave or two, and then they started mixing. We'd sell stuff and throw up an artillery or two that we didn't need at the beginning.
Yeah. So and once we realized you actually get 100% of the money, we're like, oh, wow, a game that doesn't destroy us for no reason. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I love it. I know I'm never going to beat it, but I love it.
And this is a game, you know, it's very rare that I enjoy playing these style of games, but this is the kind of one I can see for the next, you know, months, the rest of the year, whatever. If you know, Joe hits me up, hey, you want to play some more Fortified? Sure.
Yeah, same.
That's cool.
As long as it's not Joe, but I mean, if somebody else is like, yeah, you want to play Fortified? Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah.
That's but Joe, eh. Just invite Joe to a party, then kick him and then play without him.
Yeah, that works. That always works.
Have him be the fifth guy, so he just has to talk and watch.
Maybe Scuba Steve just hanging in the corner.
You guys are assholes.
I want to play.
Yeah, so, Fortified, really fun game. That's all I got.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I just like it.
So coming to console, what made you decide to go with Xbox One over PlayStation or, I guess, Wii U?
Yeah, so to be upfront about that, we at first when we started the project, we were thinking, okay, we want to get on at least one of the consoles, probably both, and we want to go to Steam. And we talked to a bunch of people to try to get on board. And, you know, Microsoft was actually just the first one to get back to us. And with nothing specific to talk about, we've definitely been talking to all the consoles, to all the console companies. But Microsoft was really the first one to get back to us. And because of that, we were able to work faster to get onto their platform. Having said that, all of the console makers right now are really great to small teams and like indies. So it's really not too hard to get onto all the consoles. But sometimes it's just a matter of like timing. And when you're a small team, you don't necessarily have the time to wait for things to happen. So you sort of have to act on the first thing that comes to you, the first opportunity. And for us, it was Xbox One. That was the first opportunity for us. And Microsoft was really supportive of us making a multiplayer game for their platform. And, you know, we sort of just ran with that.
Well, props to Microsoft for grabbing it up then, because, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure happy they did.
Yeah, I can guarantee you that if this was a PlayStation game, we wouldn't. Most likely we wouldn't be having this conversation just because on our show, I'm the only one with a PlayStation and we will admit we are heavily biased towards the Xbox just because we think it's the better system of the two, but we all have it. We all play together on it. And it's just, we're happy to see games like this come to the system that we prefer. And If it was only me playing this by myself on the PlayStation, I think we would all have a different mindset of the game in general. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's that whole group of friends playing together that really pushes what a fantastic game this is.
Yeah. I mean, I could see myself quick leveling up Scuba Steve, you know, by myself. But I would be doing it specifically so that, okay, I can get him to level 8 or 9 and play with my friends now. You know, I'm just going to beat this game by myself. I think it's so much more fun with people.
I was just about to say, I almost never co-op just because I'm usually streaming and I just like to play alone. Whereas this game, I played, I think, 1 or 2 rounds alone. I was like, okay, cool, but I'll wait till I can get with the podcast guys again. And I was like, looking forward to today to actually play again with you guys because it's just so much better. It's so good when you have a team and everything.
Yeah, so
and you have me to carry how horrible you are.
Yeah, exactly. So and out of all the indie games lately, it's definitely one of the heavy hitters, in my opinion.
What were you saying, Pappy?
I was going to say, basically, we worship at the altar of Fortified right now, but only when it's multiplayer.
Only when Joe's there to help us.
Nice. Oh, Joe, you're so good.
I know. I try.
All right.
All right, then.
Do you guys have anything? I'm, like, trying to give you guys opportunities to talk here.
I'm honestly questioning. Well, because I also remember, you know, Mark, you said that you didn't have a whole lot of time tonight, so I wasn't sure how much more you got left on.
Well, I got another 15 minutes or so.
Okay.
Before I got to catch my ride out of the office. So
I can't really ask the whole, you know, my usual questions like how many drugs were you on when you did this? Because this game isn't nearly as insane looking as a lot of the ones that we looked at recently. And I actually love the retro sci-fi look. I don't think that's drug-induced so much
now,
as just
Pappy,
awesome
you got to be fair. They could still do drugs but not be insane. So
yeah, that's fair.
So
that's
what
fair.
Drugs were you on when you made this game?
Can't talk about that in public, but
it's okay, no one's listening.
So what are some of the other games that you guys have tried recently that have given you that impression
of the makers being on drugs?
Yeah
Okay, let me just
out of curiosity,
Starwall's a big one.
Electronic okay. Superjoy.
Big time. Mm-hmm. Electronic Super. That one's pure acid.
Actually,
and LSD.
Those guys are local. They're here in Toronto, and we met them at more than one show locally. Are actually the first show that we showed Fortified off at. They were right beside us. So
that's awesome.
Nice.
And they weren't on drugs, surprisingly.
Well, yeah, because they'd already finished the game.
Everybody's on drugs. What are you talking about?
Beat Explosion. I'm pretty sure they were just on meth and needed to burn all of that energy.
Captain Cherry or Commander Cherry's.
Commander Cherry, for sure.
There had to be drugs involved with that. Where
it had to be nothing but drugs. There's guaranteed not a single sober moment of that game. Not at all. They had every drug in a blender and went to town.
Pretty much.
No, like we're actually like a very you know, I kind of always imagine us being a little more somewhat serious than like other small teams. Because when you think of like an indie developer, you kind of think, oh, there's a bunch of guys working out of like their mom's basements, and they're sort of, you know, I don't want to like stereotype or anything like that, but
I'm like, totally stereotyping.
But they're
losers. I'm totally going to stereotype anyways. But you sort of picture these people that are like, you know, we just work like night and day and we don't have a life and stuff. But we're actually a very like structured studio in that sense, as you know, the sense that like people come in, they're very serious about their work when they're here, they work very hard. But you know, we don't necessarily like stay here 24/7 or anything like that. Or like sort of like stay and hang out and play tons of video games over lunch, but then not do your work and then later stay later and do your work. We're actually a very structured studio. So it's a little, you know, it's a little like boring in that sense, but I think that it works for us because we're able to be like really focused, and I like to believe that we're, you know, it helps us to be you know, more focused than we would otherwise if we were to waste a lot of time doing a whole bunch of other stuff. But I don't
know
why.
So you're not all in
up.
Your mom's basement. It's just one basement that you all go to.
Pretty well, much. So, yeah.
And you mentioned a ride. I'm guessing your mom is coming to pick you up.
My mom is coming to pick me up. That's why I got to leave in 15 minutes. So.
She's just going to pull up and honk the horn, and you got to be like, I got to run, guys.
That's fair. So you kind of go for the, all right, we gather during the day, we get down to business. We have a little bit of fun, but we primarily work, you know, as opposed to, because there's some, and that's to each their own, I guess, because it's, you know, some of the guys we've interviewed, they're that kind of mentality where it's almost like, oh yeah, no, we literally all live in the same house. We, you know, we eat, sleep, and breathe this shit. And I think you need to have different mentalities to succeed in those different places.
Yeah, and like I'm definitely all for that. If another studio, that's their style, you know, that's their style. But I think one of the things that makes us sort of like different is that
you get to decompress.
We do get to decompress, but we also don't waste a lot of time. Like, it's kind of funny and almost scary sometimes because we come in here and people sit down and they're just like super focused for the next like 8 or 9 hours. And like, and we talk to each other and, you know, we joke and everything. But, you know, it's rare that we would sort of waste like 2 hours in the middle of the day on something else other than making the game good. And I think that that sort of helps us in the end because we get to be really focused in that sense. And
well, so that, that makes sense. I figured out the drug then. You guys all just do Adderall.
Yeah, pretty much. We do that, yes. And then we get on our way.
God damn it.
But having said that, at the end of the project, it was definitely a lot more stress and a lot more like, all right, guys, we got to stick around a little bit longer. And, you know, we got to make this good. And so it was sort of like that until the last 2 months or so. And it's sort of like, okay, now let's break the rules. Let's sort of stick around. And
now let's get the cocaine and hookers.
Now let's get the cocaine and hookers and strippers.
And let's play, have them play test the game.
Now let's be a real video game studio, right?
Nice.
I really hope I get to see a lot more of you guys in the future. Is there anything that you're already looking towards?
Sorry, I couldn't hear that through all the laughter.
I can't get over just Shiz saying have the hookers and strippers play test the game.
You killed Joe. Way to go, Shiz. You killed Joe.
Amazing.
So,
I can picture him laughing like that anytime I play anything that requires skill. He's just watching me like this.
Oh my god. It just came out of nowhere. I was not expecting make them
play.
Well, they
might buy the game, Joe.
Once Joe is calmed down.
All right, breathing. I'm breathing. We're good.
They want to play Fortified when they come home.
We're good.
Think about that.
Now that Fortified is out, are you guys already looking towards the next creation, or are you just working on tweaking Fortified right now?
Sort of. Our time is split. Half our time is working on Fortified still. There's still a little bit of work to be done there, and especially on the Steam version. You know, one of the things with Steam is that you get a really wide range of users with a really wide range of different setups, and you want to make sure that the game is working well on all those different setups.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're
the
able
keyboard,
to do
the controller, the
keyboard, controllers, the different
graphics cards
settings.
And processors and
boy,
and the guy who's got the dance pad.
The guy who wants to play Fortified on the dance pad. You know, we got to support that too.
Hey, we know a guy.
Yeah, we DJ Nario. We talked with him.
Fortified on a dance pad. I want to see that happen.
We should talk to him and see if we could get him to play Fortified on a dance pad.
Do it with a fight stick or a steering wheel. Oh, I want to do that
with a drum controller.
Drums. I want to see Fortified on drums. That would be a huge, you know, that'd be a huge feat.
That would be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Then you'll
see
me solo the Juggernaut.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen crazy stuff. I mean, having people sort of like finish games like Dark Souls, you using the drum pads or some weird shit like that. Like, I'm sure someone has done that out there, right?
Somebody
like,
just beat Ocarina of Time blind, so.
Yeah,
there's a blind guy just beat Ocarina of Time. So
yeah, he memorized everything by sound.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to watch shit like that during
really
like AGDQ
impressive.
Stuff like that. Blindfold runs blow my mind.
And then we die at level 6. We're so fucking good.
No, guys, I was blindfolded the whole time, weren't you?
We are
well,
scrubs.
Same. I just looked at my chat. I didn't look at the game.
Scrub Blacka.
Scrub Blacka in the fucking building.
Do you guys have any plans for like DLC for Fortified? Maybe new characters, new maps, anything like that?
There are no definite plans yet. We've definitely had some conversations about it, and we would like to spend some time on
our family.
We'd like to spend some time with our normal lives. Sort of like it's launch week. It's still we just finished our launch week and we're sort of recuperating and now we're thinking what we want to do. But you know, I think a lot of the people on our team, the feeling that I get is that they want to at least do something to extend the life of Fortified. But we're sort of in the early stages of thinking about what that might be.
The clear answer is microtransactions, obviously.
Oh.
Free-to-play microtransactions coming next
$5
week.
For infinite ammo.
Oh, you died twice. Please spend $1 to unlock two lives.
That's the future of 4 or 5.
Ugh.
What about a super easy crybaby bitch mode for MLG pros like myself?
Dude, that was normal.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, well, I mean... to be honest, I want a super extreme ultra max. Like,
I'll be honest.
If you hooked us up with the stream,
I think the way we've been playing on normal, I don't think we'd have any issues beating the game on easy.
Easy, we can handle.
I normal. Thought you were going to say insane.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we're going to wreck insane.
Yeah.
We're thinking of adding a harder mode to the game.
Oh fuck you guys!
No, that's how'd you know the name of the mode?
You know, yeah, there was like. Much.
Bump it up to an M rating just to have fuck you mode in the game.
You'd be surprised at how good some of these people are out there. Like,
I know, isn't it disgusting?
And like the first day, there'll be like some guy who posts a video like, I soloed insane mode in like 3 hours or something. And you'll be just like, what? Like, I don't even know that's possible in the game.
What makes sense?
Fuck those guys.
That was like watching Skate High play Electronic Super Joy, and it was like, I didn't even want to get better. I just was like, fuck this game, I'm uninstalling this. I just give up.
Like, there's nothing I can do in this world. Watching
I'm
this
just
guy
fucking
play,
done.
I have no chance. My life is now meaningless.
I actually like that though nowadays with Twitch and everything, because even the devs for games will watch a Twitch player play their game and be like, they're not supposed to be able to get through it that quickly. Like, what the fuck?
What is wrong with
so
you
hard
people?
To make it impossible.
Do you sleep? Do you like what?
It's like those Mario Maker levels, you know, that the guy who made the level took 8 hours to beat it just so he could release it, and then someone comes along and does it on first try.
Yeah.
It's
ridiculous.
You know, at the same time, sorry, I'll let you go.
No, go.
No, I was gonna say at the same time, like when you see something like that. Is really satisfying too, because it's like someone took what you created and they're totally like making a joke out of it, and you're just like, what? I can't believe that happened.
They've kind of taken your creation and perfected it.
In a way that you never really thought was possible, which is kind of the magic behind it, right?
Yeah, I need to find a wall glitch so I can just stand on a roof somewhere.
The meteors will still get you, Pappy.
You fly!
Only problem we had, though, and earlier was because when you shoot the robots, sometimes they just randomly fly off. Once in a while, we'd have one of those assholes stuck behind a fence or something. So we had to find our weapons.
Or like on a roof or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we had
to
find weapons that did splash damage because you couldn't hit it directly.
Right, yeah.
Game's broken. Fix your shit.
That being the only issue is that we were just blowing shit up too much.
Yeah. We just set them flying.
I don't have too many issues with that.
We sent them out of the map and we were complaining that we can't kill them. Like, oh, come on, man.
I think that's a positive. That's a net positive.
It is funny when you see that first wave come, if they're only coming from one direction, and just the amount of firepower that we shoot at the first fucking bastard to come out of that shield.
Or my Hall of Pain. My bazooka boy Hall of Pain.
Yeah, so I was actually kind of curious about what games you guys usually prefer. You know, of course, outside of 4 or 5, which is your favorite game, right?
Obviously, so. Number one.
Obviously,
I'm getting the logo tattooed on my face.
I enjoy playing new games. I just have a very short attention span for a lot of them. So I'd say when I say a favorite game, it's something that I can put over 50 hours in. So for me, it's stuff like Fallout, Mass Effect. That's my fallback. Okay. But I only, like, it's a good and a bad, because I won't just be like, oh, I got an hour to kill, let me play Fallout. It's got to be, oh, I have nothing to do for the next 6 hours. If I just have an hour to kill, then I want to jump on something. And with this show, there's never a shortage of games that need to be played.
Yeah, we are incredibly lucky that we've been able to cover so many games recently that I don't really get to focus on, like, favorite games anymore. Like, I haven't been able to touch Fallout in a while. My biggest go-to game is Rock Band 4. I will always love Rock Band. I am thrilled that we have had harmonix people on our show way too many times for a company that good to come to our level. We've had 9 different members of Harmonix on our show over the past
really cool.
3 years. So, yeah, awesome. Rock Band 4 is my crack. That is what I need to survive.
And Shiz just plays one game for 500 hours.
Yeah, Binding of Isaac. Man.
No, same problem as you is I can't finish anything because I try to play every indie game that comes out. So when I finish one, it's the best feeling ever. But I just finished the Binding of Isaac Rebirth, which took me 228 hours.
Which is kind of disgusting when you think about it.
No, what's disgusting is that I put like 50 in the past week, and it wasn't the only game I played because I wanted that real Platinum God before Afterbirth comes out, and sucks every minute I have.
Well, like, you know.
No, yeah, no, like, I think that's a good thing because I think, like, in this day and age, there's always this trap that you get in with there's, like, too many games, and you get into, like, the too many games mentality, and then the Steam sale comes out, and you're like, holy shit, I didn't even play the last 15 games that I bought, but now I'm going to buy another 15. Like,
That's why I like being a console peasant, because I don't have to worry about Steam sales to destroy my life.
Well, and then you look at, you know, Joe's got 2 Steam games. I still have to play Kona and was it Fire Warning?
Firewatch,
yeah.
Firewatch. Well, I guess we're not talking about that one later on this show.
No, we're not. We're not.
I still have games to stream from last week that I just haven't had time for. Like they didn't work on day one, and then I'm like, oh, okay, well, I can't fit you anywhere else. Fuck.
Yeah, but it's just a blast getting to play so many cool games and getting to talk with cool guys like you on our stupid little show.
Our awesome show.
Oh, it's still stupid, though. It's awesome, but still very stupid.
Stupid is a stupid does.
I had a developer on my stream today, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we don't want you to miss your ride, so I don't want to hold you up any longer than you need to spend with us idiots. We want to thank you for not only coming on our show and talking with us about the game, but joining us on the game for a solid hour. And I would love to do that again with you sometime.
Yeah, for sure. I want to thank you for allowing me to be on your show and for having me. It was great.
It was awesome.
And the game is awesome. So
yeah, thanks for the game. And thanks
and
for playing.
And you're awesome.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you for everything.
And we will keep an eye out for the microtransactions and the DLC.
DLC, the free to play, the money gouging, it's all coming soon. So,
and I'll tell you what I tell every developer that comes on that we talk about DLC with: if you need a voice actor, I'm desperate.
You know what? We're hiring, so send in your resume and we'll talk to you next week.
You're listening to my resume.
You do have the
he
best
can also
voice,
grunt
though.
And make really weird vomiting noises.
Oh, I can.
Yeah, I'm good at grunting, so I got you on that.
No, you're good at growling, like you're yeah,
fair enough
when you get aggravated at a game.
Never happens.
But Mark, again, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us. We will let you go so that you could stand by the door and wait for your mom to show up.
I will go do that now. Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Thank you. Do you have any final words to say for our listeners, or any final plugs for the game, or Twitter, or websites, or whatever else? This is your moment in the spotlight.
Moment. If you're going to get the game on Steam, you should get it now. It's only going to be on sale for a few more days. So that's my PR spiel. great game. Go buy it. You will lose, probably, and you'll throw your controller at the screen, but you'll like it in the end of the day, so. That's it.
You're honest.
All right, thanks again, Mark. We'll talk to you later.
All right, thank you. Thank you, guys. Bye.
God, that game is so fucking good.
I didn't get to Kona because I had this little issue playing a game that you asked me to review called Brunswick Pro Bowling.
I guess we're diving right into that.
I've contained myself long enough.
Before we get into this, I do want to mention that we've been kicking around an idea for how many games that we talk about and review on this show. We kind of need to have some kind of quote unquote official stance on games. Like we've mentioned thumbs up or thumbs down in the past. we are officially going to institute our review system of try it, buy it, or deny it. Where?
Oh, really? Buy it, try it, deny it.
Buy it, try it, deny it. Where we will tell you if a game is worth grabbing, if it's worth checking out, but maybe not purchasing right away, or if it's something that you should hold off on, at least for now, until things get addressed. So I say we should retroactively cover Fortified, and I'm going to give it a hearty buy it.
I'm going to go against the crowd and say 0 out of 10 will not play again.
Well, we don't do numbers, so that doesn't help us.
I know that. I'm a rebel.
You're the worst.
Thanks.
The rebel yell. Cry mo. All
right.
Mo.
So if we are diving right into things, Pappy, you covered Brunswick Pro Bowling for the Xbox One. It was developed by Farsight Studios, published by Alliance Digital Media. It released December 14th for $49.99. You didn't seem too pleased with it.
All right, so the game's got stats, right? You know, you've got your hook, your aim, your accuracy, your strength. So I like bowling. Hey, Joe, we were on the bowling team together.
Right? We were on the bowling team together.
Really?
We like to
bowl. You guys are fucking
bowl.
So much cooler now. I wish I was joking. Okay, sorry.
I'm not lying on the floor right behind me. Hold on. I'm going to pick this up.
And he broke.
Did you just touch his dick?
I have, sitting on the floor, 1998 Youth Summer League Champion plaque.
Oh, you really hold that thing dearly, don't you?
Yeah.
It's
next to me every podcast.
It's the only thing I own.
It's literally the only thing he's ever won, ever.
Pretty much.
So, you've got those base stats, and the only way to improve the stats isn't through practice. It's not like, oh yeah, you know, play, get better. It's play in tournaments and unlock and get money by winning to buy pants, shirts, wristbands, and bowling balls, which you can then tack on little abilities like better accuracy, more hook. So basically what I'm saying is that when you start the game, you suck ass. And there's no way to not suck ass. Because so the first – and I've actually got the game up. So the first thing you do is you've got your ball. All right. You move left and right. Just like in bowling, you find your dot. You find your dot. Didn't use the right and left bumpers. You use the left and right bumpers to aim, you know, right to left or whatever. Because when I bowl, you know, I stand to the left as a right-hander. I bowl across the lane to the right, and then the hook brings it back into the strike zone, theoretically. So I tried doing that in this game. Well, here's where the problem comes in. In order to throw the ball, it's all the right the right thumbstick.
Okay.
So you have to get your spin by moving the right joystick to the left or the right, and then down. And then as you hold it down, you have a gauge that fills for your strength. And then you have to push the stick up. But in order to get an accurate shot, it has to go in a straight line from where you're pulling it back. So you can't go like in a diagonal, if that makes sense. If you're going 45 degrees down to the left, you have to go 45 degrees up to the right.
So it's like every golf game in the world now.
Yeah. So the problem is the right thumbstick is not accurate enough. So even if you're confident that you did it right, occasionally it just goes, no, you actually bumped it. You tweaked it. No, I'm just decided. And once in a while, you'll nail it and it'll still say that you're wrong. Like it'll actually show you hitting the spot and then turn orange anyways. And then your strength modifier decides how much hook you get. And I swear to God, the lanes get dry as you bowl, because I can get two strikes in a row and then I'll throw the same ball and it'll give me a split. I actually had 5 splits in a row in one game.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was constantly moving around, fixing myself, not just going the same thing and hoping a different thing happened. I don't like the artificial difficulty level of you have to win and get money to buy, you know, to buy unlocks in order to just be able to throw the way you want to throw. So I personally, I'm going to have to say deny it. $50 is too much for this level of frustration.
I got to admit, from what you're telling me, it actually sounds fairly interesting. And
it's very, very intricate and detailed. But here's the thing. if you have a lot of patience, this you will enjoy. If you like bowling and have a lot of patience, but you have to be willing to handle the occasional frustration of it not doing what you know it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, the first two achievements I got was get 10 spares and get 100 gutters.
Nice.
Oh, my God. All
right.
Well, that sounds like your real life bowling as well. So,
thanks. Yeah, no. You know, I might not get my strikes, but I'm not a gutter ball bowler.
I know.
I generally. So that was a little upsetting, but again, it's a learning curve that was very frustrating to me. And I'll admit, it got a little easier once I finally got the money. But there's the catch: you can't get better until you can buy upgrades, but you can't buy upgrades because you can't beat anybody.
It does sound interesting in that it has RPG like elements, but it sounds like
stuff, did it get better?
Well, I got a little better. Now I'm bowling consistently between 120 and 190.
That's okay. Not bad.
So not a whole lot better. Yeah. So I never go under 100 now, but it's still those random splits are really drive me nuts. So what I actually, with the learning curve, I remember people have always mentioned Trials as a tough game to get into. So okay, I actually went and bought Trials yesterday. And no, Trials is an easier game to get into than Brunswick Pro Bowling.
Holy shit.
I got 2 gold stars on the first try yesterday on a level in area 2 and a level in area 3.
Oh, nice. GG.
So
I'm trying to beat Trials times right now.
Yeah, I'm nowhere near that. I'm finally beating Splink in my friends list. Now that I've got nice. Now that I've got Shiz on there, now I have a goal.
Oh, fucked. You're never gonna beat those.
Yeah. I hope you have 500 hours ready.
I make fun of Shiz for being a scrub all the time, but he's legit with Trials.
Yeah. But what I'll say is, if you love bowling and there's something keeping you from getting to a bowling alley. And you don't mind the actual thought level of, holy shit, I have to think about every aspect of bowling just like I was at the alley. You may really enjoy this game, but we'll say that you will be frustrated for the first hour or two until you can unlock a T-shirt and a wristband and actually, you know, add the upgrades for you. Because I'm a hook bowler, yeah. And the fact that I can't throw with a fucking hook frustrates me, you know, because I don't want to invent a new style just to beat a game. It promised such a level of realism that I wanted to be able to jump in and bowl the way I bowl and see if I succeed. So it's kind of a bummer that you have to adapt to the game until you can unlock enough to play it the way you want to.
To me, it sounds like it has a learning curve like real bowling, but you have, it's basically starting from scratch.
It is. It's starting from scratch, but the way I say it's more than a learning curve because there are some hiccups. By having to use the right thumbstick, it really does fuck you up sometimes. That's really the only way to put it. So you can be bowling strikes. You can find your strike zone. Eventually, you will get a split because the game just decided, you know what, you were just a little bit off. And I'd say it would be a lot easier if my strength bar was delineated a little bit, but it's just a straight circle. So you can't really see where you're – so if I throw under strength – and I think I'm around 75%, there's no way I'm going to be able to match it the next time because there's really no way to eyeball that. If that makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
So, it's not – I'll admit I rage quit the fuck out of it the first day I played. I could only play in like 10, 15-minute increments. But again, once I unlocked stuff, I was able to play a few more tournaments in a little longer each setting. But it's not a game that you're going to jump in and just master.
It's not a casual bowling game, pretty much.
No, it's not Wii bowling.
Yeah.
It sounds a lot like Rockstar Table Tennis almost, where it's good, but it's unplayable.
It's playable, but again, $50, I just don't see it. Again, if you can get to a bowling alley, do that.
I do have concerns when it comes to the price, because apparently on the PS4, on the PSN, the digital storefront, it's $29.99. And I don't understand that.
I would say $30 or less. If you're really into bowling and don't mind the difficulty curve, $30 or less is a fair price point. Now, if it's $20 and you want a game that will keep you busy for fucking hours, oh, yeah, grab it up. But at $50 for the Xbox, I just have to say it's a deny it.
So
is there anything different between the versions, or is it just...
I have no idea, because I'm not going to pick up the PS4 version of a game because I'll barely play it.
But Joe... you are on it all the time. What are you talking about?
I do really want to give the Xbox One version a try. And full disclosure, I own it. I just haven't played it yet.
I honestly want to stream it just for Pappy.
Well, oh, God, lie. No. Stream this drunk. You won't make it fucking 10 minutes.
But I kind of want to give it a go to give a second opinion. I just don't know if I'll have time to do it.
Yeah,
so
and,
it's good that you played
it. You have a little more patience. I think you have a little more patience, and I think you get a little more out of it initially. But I don't see anyone hopping in and being like, oh, you're wrong. It's easy. Yeah. I don't see that. Because I gave it, like I said, I kept playing it. I played it all weekend on and off just to make sure I gave this game enough time to be like, okay, here's my first impression. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
I didn't just play it for 10 minutes, rage quit, and say fuck off.
So officially, unfortunately, it's a deny it, but it's mainly due to the price.
Yeah, it's mainly due to the price. Because again, I changed my opinion of it as I played. I still think it's a bullshit beginning game, but after an hour or two, if you stick with it, you can find a fun competitive game out in there. It's just not $50.
Hey, it makes sense. It sounds fair. I am going to cover two games right now for the PlayStation Vita. The game Royal Defense just came out last week. It is developed by Creobit and published by 8Floor. I talked with 8Floor and they hooked me up with a code for that. And they also hooked me up with a code for the game Alien Shooter, which released last May on the Vita. And apparently a PlayStation 4 version of that game is coming later this year. I believe it's already available in Europe, but the American version is coming later this year. I'm going to start with Royal Defense, again, developed by Creobit, published by 8Floor. It released February 2nd for $5.99. It is a touchscreen tower defense game. A very, very, I don't want to say basic, but it's what you would expect when you think of tower defense. There's a path from the edge of the screen that leads to a castle in the middle. You have to place different turrets and guns and everything else along the path to deal with a variety of different monsters coming down the path as Shiz is breathing deeply into his microphone.
Am I?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm playing Trials, and I'm really trying not to blow your eardrums out right now.
Yeah, I just watching the wave of the recording.
I'm going to mute my mic till I need it. No, I'll forget to unmute it, and you'll be like, Shiz, say something.
For $6, it's a really, really solid tower defense game. It's all touch control, which is awesome. Very easy to play. There's a handful of different guns. Each one has different upgrades. You can upgrade each one twice in its current form, which gives it a longer range and more damage. And then as you go through the game, you can unlock more powerful upgrades that changes it from like a normal one-shot cannon to like a rapid-fire machine gun cannon, or some of them you could like add poison damage or slow damage. You have magic spells, like you can drop like a swamp area that poisons them and slows them down as they walk through. You can drop fire, like meteor shower, to hit an area. You can drop ice that freezes a bunch of enemies in one spot for a couple of seconds. So if you're having a group of enemies giving you some real pain in the ass problems, you could just drop the ice block, and as they walk into it and freeze, you just drop the meteor shower and fuck them all up. The game does have microtransactions available, which you can buy to get crystals, which you use to power up or upgrade your different towers and abilities. You earn crystals as you play through the game, so it's not at all required, but as always, it'll make things easier if you want to take the easy way out and just buy a stronger team. Overall, for only being $6, I got to give this a buy it. If you're into tower defense, $6 and it's fun as fuck. So
what if I'm into tower destruction?
You could. Alien Shooter is developed by Sigma Team and published by 8Floor. It released again May 19th for $7.99. There are also two additional DLC campaigns that are $3.99 each. Or you could get a full bundle that has the full game for $8 and the two DLC campaigns for another $8, and it's only 13 total, $12.99. Isometric view twin stick shooter. Where you're basically a guy going into an alien infested
vagina,
a laboratory, and you warehouse areas. You got to go through, you got to kill everything, find what you have to do in each level, kill all the aliens in a level. There are tons of different weapons you could use, but I have found myself mostly sticking with the dual wielding pistols that you start out with, mainly because it's infinite ammo.
I love the infinite ammo.
Yeah, everything else, like, you'll find the weapons through the stage. They have shotguns, they have machine guns, they have grenade launchers, all that kind of fun shit. You have to find ammo. I mean, they give you a plentiful amount of ammo, but I would rather just use pistols and not worry about finding ammo.
Save the shotgun for, like, the boss.
Pretty much. There are tons of secrets in each level. I haven't found all the secrets on one level yet, just because of how well hidden some of them are. There's destructible walls, different alien types. Some are stronger than others. They have, like, little tiny ones that'll come at you that just one shot and they die. They have bigger aliens, all different colors, so the different colors obviously different damage. It's good. The controls can be kind of bitchy, I guess. They do have an auto lock on, which is both a good and a bad, because there's times where you're trying to shoot, like, some of the destructible environments in the area to see if there's anything hidden under them, but the game is instead locked onto an enemy somewhere that you can't really see yet. So I found myself turning off the auto aim when I'm just trying to, like, explore shit, and then maybe switching it back on. Does what hurt anything?
Like, switching off auto aim, does that make it harder?
No. I mean, it turning it off, it can make it harder. You just have to aim yourself instead of auto locking on, which it's a twin stick shooter. You're kind of supposed to use both sticks anyway in a twin stick shooter.
They do that anyways, because I find it always aims weird.
Yeah. There's also a survival mode where basically just survive as long as you can against an endless wave of enemies that get progressively harder, that they'll drop upgrades or special weapons, shit like that. The campaign.
Basically a twin stick shooter.
Yeah. The campaign, you can upgrade your weapons and buy stuff in between stages. There's some fun blood splatter in the game, which is always good. It just seems kind of overall kind of rough. I would throw a try on this one. I'm curious to see how the PS4 version is going to be when that comes around, and whether or not it'll be cross-buy with the Vita version.
What's the difficulty?
The difficulty, it ramps up fairly quickly. I mean, it starts
off... Is it like Crimson Land, or...?
I wouldn't say it's like Crimson Land, because you're actually exploring areas instead of just one overworld map.
It's a difficulty level.
Yeah, difficulty level. Like, is it brutal like that, or is it doable?
It's not as brutal as Crimson Land.
Okay.
I mean, I know at least in survival, like, I haven't even made it to 5 minutes in survival yet. Because in survival, it could ramp up fairly quick. Like, it seems easy enough, but when it ramps up quickly.
Yeah, 5 minutes is a long time when you have a million people on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's cool. It's good. If you're looking for a fun twin stick shooter on the Vita, it's worth checking out. If you know someone who has it, give it a try, or watch some playthrough videos. It's just, in my mind, it's not a must buy, but it's worth checking out if you can. And then a lot of it will come down to the PS4 version, and if there's any noticeable improvements in there, I would assume visually it would be a lot better. But yeah, it's good, it's cool, it's just not a must-own kind of thing. So try it if you can.
Cool.
So
I would try it.
We covered pretty much the whole spectrum of buy it with Royal Defense, try it with Alien Shooter, and deny it for now with Brunswick Pro Bowling.
Yeah, hey, that's a nice way to intro the options there.
Yeah, one of each. And then an absolutely fucking buy it with good old Fortified.
Yeah. With the why haven't you already bought it?
Yeah. Very true.
And like you said, if you're going on Steam, do it up. It's only on sale for the week.
Yeah.
You guys want to see the footage of us getting the shit rocked out of us? I have last week's session on my YouTube channel already, but I'm going to put soon. Awesome. I'm going to upload it. I'm just trying to run through some other videos, but definitely going to upload it tonight.
Good times.
Yeah, so good as mm-hmm. black as YouTube.
So we will be back later this week. We are going to be talking with the folks from Vector Unit on Thursday.
Yeah.
Shiz will be joining us for that one. Man. And then on Friday, we will be welcoming back David the Rod Sterling of Loot Interactive.
Oh, yeah, because he loves that nickname.
To talk Qbert Rebooted. and then next week, we're only going to have, it's looking to be one episode, and then we're going to be taking like a solid week off for MAGFest festivities.
Yeah, so next week, in order to make things harder on ourselves, we'll be doing it at midnight my time and 3 a.m. Joe's.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, nice. Get wrecked.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Yeah. And that will be with Radiation Burn, who recently released The Living Dungeon, which we will be discussing again next week.
Which I talked to a coworker who's been playing that on Steam a lot, so I'm actually going to get some tips and tricks from him.
Nice.
So I can get a little farther into the game.
Good times. Good times. So, anybody have any idea of music to play this week?
Loud.
Loud? Some rock stuff, maybe?
Yeah. And this is just a shameless promotion for a cool guy, but Dental Cannon's coming out with a new album soon. So
yeah, I'm hoping to get him on the show later this month, perhaps. Yeah, or
so maybe
early...
throwing up a little bit of his stuff from maybe last album.
We just did Arm Cannon last week, so.
Oh no, similar people.
I was thinking of doing some Metroid Metal, some Grant Henry.
I say for the rest of the week, just bands that will be playing at MAGFest.
I don't know who's playing at MAGFest. I didn't pay attention to any of that shit.
Go to their fucking website.
That requires work. And then it requires me like finding music from these people, possibly buying it, and I can't afford money.
Well, I'm pretty sure you have something from almost everybody playing.
I highly doubt it.
Performers. Let's Super Soul Brothers, U-Bred Raptors, Bit Brigade, Mega Ran.
I have, I think, a little bit from Bit Brigade, but not much. And we got a copyright claim last time we played their stuff.
Disco Cactus.
Never heard
of
them.
The One-Ups, those guys.
Who?
Yeah, they'll be there.
Who?
I don't know some of these guys. Metroid Metal? World of Square?
Oh, gee, I just mentioned playing Metroid Metal.
I told you, I'm only mentioning the ones that I know.
Go fuck yourself.